Here on RNIB Connect Radio, it's time again for our regular check-in with pharmacist Elizabeth Roddick from New Life Pharmacy in Glasgow. Hello, Elizabeth. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Toby.
This week, we're going to be talking all about vitamin D, as Elizabeth, I believe you're going to be delivering a presentation about vitamin D at the Scottish Parliament next week. How did this come about, and are you feeling a little bit nervous at the moment?
First of all, Dr. Helga Ryan, she's a retired GP who I would suggest is the Scottish expert on vitamin D. She's asked me to present a short piece from my perspective in support of her. I got in touch some years ago when I started to get interested in vitamin D and its health potential. And yes, I'm a little nervous about going home. In fact, it's a Zoom meeting next week.
Elizabeth, you were telling me that you found that your vitamin D levels were a little bit low recently too.
Yeah, it was actually a long time ago, Toby. It was 2012. I noticed I was feeling tired. I had sore bones. I was constantly getting respiratory tract infections. In other words, I was not a good advert, since as well as my radio work, I was giving talks, giving health advice to my patients in the pharmacy. And the point was, I was eating nutritious food, exercising, doing all the correct things, but I realised something was wrong. I decided to get my vitamin D levels checked because I'd been reading about health problems if levels are low. At that time, I went to a private doctor and he told me that my level was 22 nanomoles per litre. Now, that basically meant that I was severely deficient.
Do you think this is a general problem in Scotland at all?
Yes, that's why we're suggesting to the members of the Scottish Parliament that they need to treat Scotland differently. Previous research showed that 34% of the Scottish population were severely deficient, 84% were deficient, and that was with taking the recommended dose of 400 international units. Scotland's latitude means we can't make vitamin D on our skin between October and April. Also, it tends to be quite cold, so we cover up, wear factor 50 sunscreen, and don't go out in the midday sun. And that's when we produce vitamin D on the skin. And of course, a lot of the population now work indoors.
So, Elizabeth, did you take any extra vitamin D when you found that you were slightly deficient?
Yeah, I took a very large dose for a month and then a maintenance dose of several thousand international units. With all the research now available, we're suggesting that the 400 international unit that we give to babies will obviously not be sufficient for adults. And in obesity, you actually have to take even more. A dose of somewhere between 2,000 and 6,000 is needed to get adequate blood levels. And as well as myself, I found that several of my patients had low vitamin D levels. In fact, the five women in my original research who had the lowest levels, they all had a history of breast cancer. Now, it wasn't statistically significant, but it was very, very interesting.
Is it possible at all to maybe overdose on vitamin D?
Toby, you can literally overdose on anything, even water. But all the research I've read up on, I can only find two documented cases, both accidental overdose involving millions of international units. One was pure vitamin D powder. It was put in a sugar bowl as a joke. And the other one was vitamin D oil, accidentally given to someone. Both documented results. People ended up with kidney failure because it's calcium overdose. That's the problem. And they both survived. Also, there's one condition called sarcoidosis. Now, it's a very rare condition where you have to be carefully, really concerned about taking vitamin D. You would need to get advice on that. And what I'm saying is if someone has sarcoidosis, they will know they have it. But other than that, really, it's pretty safe.
And finally, Elizabeth, what about any connections at all between COVID and vitamin D?
Well, there's now a great body of research, Toby, showing the benefits of having higher vitamin D levels and having COVID infections. 2017 in the BMJ, that showed that vitamin D reduced the number of respiratory tract infections. And what's also been found in recent research is that there is a marked reduction in serious disease in those who have higher vitamin D levels. And so it's really, really important to think about that. Get some advice.
Well, as always, some very useful information and advice there. Elizabeth, if people would like to maybe get in touch and ask for some advice, where can they go to find you?
All the W's, newlifepharmacy.co.uk.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Elizabeth Roddick from New Life Pharmacy in Glasgow, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio. And good luck with your presentation next week too.
Thanks, Toby. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.